I thought I was through last time, talking about this snake, talking about Paul, all of that. And so here I am. A few days ago, I'm looking on YouTube, and I go through like 25, 35 videos, didn't look at anything, and it's like I just want to see this one video of this guy. And I stopped. He was this missionary to Mexico, and he started talking about he was outside working, and he hit this tree with his tractor, and this snake fell out of a tree, and his fangs fell into this guy's arm. And poisonous snakes, one of the most poisonous snakes in Mexico. And he testified how he called his wife, she brought him home, she prayed for him. He began to have strokes. He began to lose consciousness, and he began to lose his, become paralyzed. And he said he woke up to what he thought was going to be his last sunrise. And he went, looked out the window, and the sun was shining, and God instantly healed him. Amen. And I needed to hear that testimony because I was not through with this sermon series that I'm on. And the Lord was trying to get me to finish it. I was like, man, the people are going to get tired of me talking about Acts chapter 28. But here I am, the first sermon of 2025. I tried to crawfish out of this sermon. Pastor wouldn't let me. Like, Pastor, the first sermon of 2025? But here I am. And we give God all the glory. All the glory. Jesus, we give you all the glory. Before I ever even start to preach this morning, Jesus, you deserve all the glory. I couldn't even stand here this morning, Lord, if it wasn't for your grace. I couldn't even stand here this morning if you would not have forgiven me of a multitude of sins. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. It's only by your grace I stand here this morning. Father, I pray that you speak to your people. Open their ears to hear. Father, I pray that today would be a new beginning, that none of us will enter into this year with our heads hung down, that none of us will enter into this new year, Lord God, in fear or doubt or unbelief. But Father, I pray today that faith would arise. I pray, Lord God, that if there is anything that's hindering the ears of your people from hearing, in the name of Jesus, I command it to loose their ears right now. And I pray, Lord God, that you open the ears of your people to hear what the Spirit would say today in Jesus' name. And with the church, please agree with me by saying amen. 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 So, Blessings After the Storm, Part 6. If I had a subtitle this morning, it would be this. I'm looking forward to God's interruptions. I'm looking forward to God's interruptions. And that will make sense here in just a minute. How many of you have been watching TV? Now, talking about that tornado that you were a part of, my wife and I were out of town in central Louisiana. And for 2 days straight, the alarms on our phones were going off. The alarms on the TVs were going off, just constantly going off. There's a tornado warning, tornado watch, find shelter. I'm like, all I'm trying to do is watch this old Western. Why don't they just let me watch a little TV and relax a little bit? But have you ever been watching TV or listening to the radio and you've heard this come across? We interrupt this regularly scheduled program for a special announcement. And then you hold on like, okay, what's going on now? Life is full of interruptions sometimes. It is. our regularly scheduled life, sometimes we have interruptions that come in. And we're not expecting them. We sure don't want them. I've never prayed for, Lord, let me go through a trial today. I don't look forward to them. But I know there's a lot of people in this church had a lot of interruptions to your life in 2024. The way I know that's because I'm the guy who stands up here and have to pray for you every Sunday. Because you tell us about all of those interruptions to your life that happened in 2024. So I'm going to prove something this morning. I'm going to prove to you that Pastor Tardo is the theologian and that I am not. Because I want to talk about life's interruptions. But I'm going to do it in a way, just the way it came to me. I think there are three types of interruptions in life. Three types. And I'm going to use these three types of interruptions. Back in 1966, there was this old Western starring Clint Eastwood. And it was called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Pastor, I don't know if that's theologically sound or not. But that's where I'm going this morning. Interruptions can be categorized good, bad, and ugly, painfully ugly. But let me see if I can make this make sense with the scripture. James 1:17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. God gives us all good things. Amen. Good interruptions. If God interrupts you, see, Pastor, I'm going to make it work. Just trust me. All good interruptions in life, God gives us those things. There's been times we've been going along and somebody said, hey, I just want to bless you with something. Hallelujah. I'll take it. I'll take those kind of interruptions. Sometimes we've been going along and somebody would say, let me give you a testimony. And they tell me something that God has done. I'll take those interruptions any day. Amen. God is consistently good. Our God is good all the time. And when he interrupts our life, he likes to interrupt us. But if he interrupts our life, it is a good interruption. Let's talk about these bad interruptions. Galatians 5:15 says this, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And then Galatians 5:16 says this, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Those bad interruptions, I believe, are when people come across our path and mess with us and interrupt us. Anybody ever been interrupted by some people? See, I almost threw some adjectives in there or whatever that no, I'm not going to describe the people. Just people. You've ever been interrupted by people? Galatians says, don't bite and devour one another. Anybody ever been bitten at by the words of other people? Those bad interruptions. Or you've done some dumb things to yourself through sin. That's a bad interruption to your life. God's brought you past it, and all of a sudden here you are giving back over to that thing again. Shame on you. I've never done. Well, yes, I have. Never mind. We bring interruptions to ourselves. but people, flesh and blood. And then this last one, the ugly, the painfully ugly interruptions, John 10:10. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Painful interruptions, those ugly interruptions. Pastor, I tried to work it in there somehow to make it. Okay. Man, those interruptions when the devil comes, they're painfully ugly. But you know, it's not just the enemy, like there's just this spirit floating around. The enemy can inspire and use people, as we have seen this last week. When you see a person just bent on destruction, trying to kill, steal, and destroy, that is demonically inspired. When they say these people who do that are working alone, I'm like, no, baby, they're not working alone. There is some demonic activity going on. Interruptions. And many of us can still feel the pain of some of the past interruptions of 2024. We still feel it. We've been disappointed, sick, diseased, heartbreak, betrayed, financial difficulties, hurting. So many things have happened in our lives that we still feel the sting of that thing moving into this new year. I'm glad it's not my sermon this morning. But that is not where I'm going to end. That's where I want to begin this morning. Would you turn with me to Acts chapter 28? Your Bible should just fall there after all these times of going there. Acts chapter 28. Acts 28, verse 1. It says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita," or the Isle of Malta, "and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire," or they were really kind, is what this is saying. These people on the island were really kind. You had this shipload of people who were shipwrecked on the island, and these natives of the island saw them swimming to shore. They welcomed them. They built a fire because they knew they were cold. They were wet. They had just escaped a sinking ship in the middle of a hurricane. So it says, "For they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire." So I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to back up to verse 2. Last week I told you, here was Paul standing around the fire. Not last week, last time. Standing around the fire, he had finally got a time where he could just rest a little bit, relax. His feet was on solid ground. And as I meditated on this some more, here's what I could see. I could see the Apostle Paul. Now, he had two traveling companions with him, Luke and Aristarchus, on this ship with him. And I could see Paul standing there by the fire. He's cold. He's wet. He's burned out. He's tired. They've been swimming through the waves trying to get to this island. And so here he is, and I can see him standing there, looking around at all of the people around this fire. And I can just kind of imagine this guy, Julius, this centurion who was over the army that was watching Paul and these prisoners, I could just see one of these Roman guards coming up and reporting to Julius the centurion and telling him, everyone has been accounted for. There was no loss of life. And I could hear Julius the centurion saying, what? That's impossible. And I can see Paul thinking, Aristarchus, Luke, they made it. Praise God. We all made it safely. Amen. Now, I'm telling you that for a reason. So they're all warming by this fire. Everyone is accounted for. And then verse 3 says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, they came out of a viper, out of the heat, and fastened on his hand. How did Paul know that a viper had fastened on his hand? How? Somebody talk to me. Talk to me. He felt it. This is Paul. He didn't feel pain. You got to be kidding me. So nobody had to say, hey, you, guy, you. Hey, you got, look at your hand there. You have something hanging off your hand. He felt the pain of this viper. This thing, I might be wrong. Excuse me if I'm wrong. Snakes don't have hands, right? Oh, so he wasn't hanging on to Paul's hands with hands. This snake was hanging on to Paul's hand with its fangs. Paul felt pain. He felt the pain of this viper. And so, do you think it's safe to classify this as one of those painfully ugly interruptions? When you have a venomous viper hanging off your hand, I think it's safe to classify that as one of those painfully ugly interruptions in life. So verse 4, it says here that, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not to live. So they saw this snake. They've seen this snake before bite people. They've gotten reports of this snake biting people. When this snake bit people, they died. Here were the symptoms. They had a snake bite. There was blood and venom coming out of the wound. The wound would swell. The person would eventually fall down and die. So here's another guy. Just escaped the ship. He has a snake bite. Not only did the snake bite him, the snake is hanging off of this guy's hand. We know this is going to kill him. That's what they were saying. And then verse 5 says, and he, Paul, shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. Now, it doesn't say he didn't feel any pain. He felt the pain of the interruption, but the interruption did not kill him. I think that went over your head this morning. Because there's been some times in our life where interruptions have come, the enemy has come, and we felt the sting, the pain, and we've had that alarm go off. That's right on time. We felt the pain of the interruption, but the interruption could not, not that it did not, it could not take you out. Brother, you don't have tornadoes come through while you're out hunting. That's just not normal. And you come back to tell the story? There's been times when we felt the pain of the interruption. There's been times we felt the pain of the snake bite. But God brought us through it. Did God bring anybody in here through 2024 with some interruptions in your life? And look at you. Where are you? You're sitting in church praising God this morning. That's what I'm talking about. That's a testimony right there. I know there's been times in my life that I felt the sting, the pain of the snake, and God said, oh no. Oh no, you're not taking my brother out because I have something for him to do. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 6. Howbeit they looked, now the people of the island, so I already told you, Paul had the snake hanging off his hand by his fangs. He shook off the snake. Now Paul standing there with blood coming out of the wound, venom probably seeping out with the blood from his hand. And so verse 6 says, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen, when he should have swollen. Medically speaking, scientifically speaking, factually speaking, he should have swollen. And they were looking when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, let's look at this for a second. The Bible says they looked. They looked at Paul. In the Greek, this word looked is the word prostakio. And this is what that word means. They were looking at Paul. It means to look with anticipation, knowing that something is about to happen. It means to look with expectation because you know what the end result is going to be, and you're going to look for it and wait for it to happen. Does that sound familiar? That sounds like faith. These men were showing classical faith. Man, if we had some Christians who could believe like these men were believing. They were looking at Paul, and they knew it's just going to be a matter of time. And the Bible said they looked. Prostakio, they looked. They were waiting. They were waiting with expectation. They were anticipating this man is going to swell up, and this man is going to fall down, and this man is going to die. They knew it was going to happen. Scientifically, it should have happened. Because of historically, it should have happened. Because it happens every time. But the Bible says, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they expected Paul to die. The facts, the laws of science, all medical laws, everything pointed toward Paul should not have survived. But there was one problem with their facts. I can tell you what their problem was in one word. Jesus. Jesus made all the difference. When you put Jesus in the equation, it totally changes the equation. Some of you heard this year from a doctor, a diagnosis that made perfect medical sense. It made perfect logic. It made perfect biological sense. But there was one thing that changed that diagnosis. Do you know what it was? Jesus. Jesus makes the difference. Whatever we might be going through, Whatever you might be anticipating. You see, this word, prostakio, here's the good thing and the bad thing about it. So it means that you're expecting, you're anticipating, but here's the good and the bad. You can be anticipating something good to happen, or you can be anticipating something bad to happen. That's how faith works. You ever see anybody sitting up at night worried about tomorrow? That's faith, baby. Oh, my God, they're going to come and this is going to happen. Oh, my goodness, this is going to happen to me. Oh, I can't sleep because I know this bad thing. That's faith. But it's the wrong kind of faith. It's faith in the wrong thing. And so Paul and these men on the island were both operating in the perfect example of faith. But the only difference was the men were believing in facts. Paul was believing in his God. And that made all the difference. Let's take a quick look back. Look at Acts chapter 27 and verse 22. Acts chapter 27 and verse 22. Acts 27, verse 22. So it said, now this is when they were still on the ship. This is before the shipwreck. This is before the fire, before the snake. They were going through the storm. Everybody thought that they were going to die on the ship. But Acts 27, 22, this is what Paul said. He got everybody's attention and he said, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And verse 23 said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Now, the angel didn't say, Paul, I don't know if you're going to make it or not, but if you just happen to make it to Rome, no. He said, thou must be brought before Caesar. It has to happen because God said it's going to happen this way. And he says, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. 276 men on this boat in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, in the middle of a hurricane. You just don't survive that. Everybody just does not survive that. And remember, Paul was standing by the fire and all of these men around him. And he's looking at all of these men around him thinking, God, just like you told me, you did exactly what you said you were going to do. Does anybody in this church have that testimony where God did something for you just like he said he would in his word? Can I ask anybody in this church, did God wake anybody up this morning? Has God healed anybody in this church before? Has God saved anybody's loved ones in this church before? Has God done anything for you? Paul has found himself standing around this fire thinking, God, you've done so much for me already, and you saved all of these men. And now here's this stupid viper hanging off my hand. But you know what? This thing can't kill me because you said, God. Paul stood on the word of God. When people was expecting him to fall, he stood on the word. That's right. When people expect you to fall, you stand on God's word. Yes. Amen. I could just kind of think about times in my life. Listen to what this said. I want to give you a testimony here in a second. The angel told Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Do you know if Paul would not have been on that ship, 273 men would have died at sea. It was 276 men on that ship. Paul, Luke, and Aristarchus probably wouldn't have been on the ship if Paul wasn't on the ship. His two friends wouldn't have been there. So 273 men would have died at sea, never to be heard from again, if Paul was not on that ship. Amen. Do you know Paul's life was filled with interruptions, and this ship ride was an interruption that he did not want to be on? Can you imagine Paul, Luke, Aristarchus sitting around eating a meal together? And Aristarchus said, Luke, Paul, what do you think? We would want to do something. We've been, preaching a lot, going around city to city. Let's take some time off. And Paul says, that's a great idea. How about I do something to get us in trouble? And how about I get thrown in jail? And maybe they'll put us on a ship to Rome, and we can be in the middle of a hurricane, and maybe we'll get shipwrecked on this island, and we can just hang out for a while. Do you think that's how this all worked out? Yeah. Paul did not want to be here. This was one of those painfully ugly interruptions of life. But if Paul was not here, these people would have died. I'm telling you, there's been some interruptions in your life that you thought, I can't believe I'm in this place in my life. But God said, I will take that interruption and I will save people. I will heal people. I will deliver people. I will show people my power through you because of this interruption. Let me testify for a minute. I was in Canada years ago, probably 20 years ago, on this business trip. I did not want to be there. I wanted to be at home with my family. It was a business trip. I had to go. I couldn't get out of it. Like, oh, man, Canada? Okay, let's go back to Canada. I'm in Canada. The meeting is over. Everybody's packing up. They're going home. They're like, well, you guys ready to go to the airport? I'm like, that's not till tomorrow. David, you didn't see the email? No, I didn't see the email. We were all leaving, going home today. I missed the memo. So I'm stuck in Canada for another 24 hours. I'm mad because I'm in Canada and didn't want to be there. I'm sad because I'm homesick. So I figure I'll go for a walk. So I go for this walk. So I'm walking down this little shopping center, and I stop and I look through this window, and this window has, in the store, has all of this equipment for people who live in Canada. If you play hockey, if you go ice skating, that's what's in this. Do you think a Louisiana boy is going into this store to buy some hockey gear? Ice fishing, exactly. So no, I'm not going in. So I walk on, and I hear that still small voice, go back. Go back. So I go back. And I go in the store, and this lady comes up, may I help you? No, ma'am, I don't need anything. She looks at me, she was like, you talk funny. Yes, ma'am, I'm from Louisiana. Make a long story short, we get into a conversation. I end up praying with this lady. I get back home. I'm happy I'm home. A couple of weeks later, I get a letter in the mail because I gave her my information. She wrote me a letter and told me that she was going to commit suicide. But God interrupted my life and took me to this lady. So I'm thinking about this yesterday. I'm not through. I'm thinking about this yesterday. Sitting in my chair, looking out the window, thinking, God, yeah, that was an interesting time. And he brings this man across my path, my mind. I met a guy in Florida over a year ago. Couldn't even remember his name. How did I get to Florida over a year ago? I was on a business trip that I didn't want to be on. I wasn't supposed to go. This lady was supposed to go. She got sick. She asked all these people, do you want to go? Everybody said, no. This is hurricane season. We do not want to fly to Florida. Finally, I said, I'll go. Now I'm in Florida. Disgusted. Don't want to be there. I'm the great Christian. I mean, I'm just a great Christian. Homesick. And we're in this big building where they're building this equipment. And I'm talking to this guy, and he tells me that he used to be in the ministry, and we just have a conversation. We exchange phone numbers. And I fly back home. Over a year later, yesterday, I'm sitting at home, and I'm reminded of this interruption in my life. And I'm thinking, this was an interruption. And there's still small voices saying, call him. Call him. I don't even know the guy's name. So I'm looking at my phone, and I was thinking, maybe I say this name as Pastor something. I don't know. That's what came to my mind. So I started punching in, spelling pastor. These are pastors. Pastor Tardo. Nope, not him. All these pastors. This guy's name was at the bottom of the list, but I didn't save it as pastor. But the letters that I punched brought this guy's name up. So I called him. He didn't answer my call. So I texted him. I said, this is David Walker. I met you in Florida. Please give me a call. He called me back. I said, brother, I'm sitting here studying for my message tomorrow, and God put you on my heart. How are you? He said, I'm horrible. He said, 2024 was horrible to me. To make a long story short, he told me, I don't want to be here anymore. God interrupted my life over a year ago so I could call this man yesterday and pray for him and prophesy into his life and tell him, God is not through with you yet. Rise up, man of God. You get up, you stand up, you don't let the devil beat you down, you get on your feet, and you keep serving God. Amen. And he told me, there's no way you were supposed to call me. I know God is talking to me today. I had words of knowledge for this man about sicknesses and symptoms he was having. He could not deny that God was dealing with him. But where did this come from? An interruption to my life. How many times do we go through interruptions and you act like David Walker? God, I don't want to be here. I want to go home. I'm homesick. I want my own bed. You just don't know when the interruptions come. I want you to ask yourself a question. God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing? I might not see it right now, but God, you're up to something. I might not understand why you're interrupting my life right now, but Lord, you're up to something. Help me to be obedient in this time. That's my testimony. So we come back, and this is what Paul said. We took that quick look back. Paul said, I believe God. In Acts 27, the angel of the Lord came and spoke to Paul. Acts 27, verse 5. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul said it's going to happen just like God said. And so now here's Paul standing around this fire. There's this viper hanging off his hand. People are looking at Paul thinking he's about to die. And Paul's like, nope, I got a word from God. I believe that God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do in my life. Church, what will happen? What will happen to the man, to the woman who declares, I believe the word of God. I believe the word of God. I believe that the Bible is true, and I believe that God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do in my life. What kind of Christian would that be? You know any of those guys? Paul and the people on the island were both operating in strong faith. But there was a difference. They were believing two different things. And the people on the island were believing facts. But Paul believed in the truth of God's word. Painfully ugly interruptions do not stop God from moving in your life. Can I say that again? Some of you have been interrupted in your life with some of those painfully ugly interruptions. You're going to go home and you're going to tell somebody. What you learn at church today? That there are painful, ugly interruptions. What scripture is that? Some of those interruptions in our life come, but they do not stop God from working. Give me one second here. When pastor comes up later and he and we have the altar call and we want to pray for people, there is someone here, and I could literally point you out. There are some people here who are hurting. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about your heart, your emotionally. I mean, I feel the pain of some of the things that you've gone through. You have been hurt. You've been disappointed. And God wants to heal that wound. There is an emotional wound that you've been packing around in 2024. And you are not going to leave this church today with that wound. You know who I'm talking to? I'm not going to point at you. But after this service, God wants to heal that. Now back to my regularly scheduled program. What would happen to a church that decided to declare this? God, we need you to come and visit us in a way that we have never experienced before. God, we are going to get out of your way and let you have your way in this house. What would happen to a church that would seek the sovereign God of the universe to move and bless them how he saw fit to move and bless them? So we come back to Paul standing when everybody's looking at him, expecting him to fall. Everybody's watching him, expecting him to fall. What did Paul do? The only thing he could do. He just kept on standing. He just kept on standing. And I can just see a few years later when he's writing to the church at Ephesus, his mind goes back and he remembers this event. And he's wrapping up his letter and he says, you know what? Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. That's Ephesians chapter 6. Right. Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, 16, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the painfully ugly interruptions of the devil. That's right. Or the wiles of the devil. Right. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, when you can't do anything else, when you don't know what to do, you just keep standing. You just keep standing. When you've done all you can do and you don't know what else to do, you just stand. Just stand. Just because there's an interruption in your life, don't you lose hope in what you're believing God to do in your life. You keep standing. Don't you give up on what God spoke to you. You keep standing. Right. Don't you go by what you're feeling right now. You keep standing. Don't go by what people are saying to you and talking about you and saying about you. You keep standing. Amen. And if you get around people and they try and talk you out of what you believe in for, and they tell you you need to go sit down, you walk away and you keep on standing. Yeah. When that preacher is up there and he keeps preaching and you're like, look, I'm getting hungry, it's time to go, why don't you shut up? You keep sitting and listening. And then you keep standing. Amen. I'm closing with this. Acts 28, verse 7. Acts 28, verse 7. This is what it says. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius was sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. Now, this is some bad stuff. This guy has some kind of bacteria running through his system. His stomach is so messed up that he's passing blood. He's dying. But listen at this, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. In other words, after this snake incident and Paul was like, I'm going to keep standing, guess what came over the television? We now return to our regularly scheduled programming. This is why Paul is here. This is why he was on that island. This is why he went through that interruption in his life, because these people were dying and God brought Paul by way of shipwreck to save these people's lives and see them healed. I'm believing God today. Pastor said that we are fasting and believing God for healing. I'm believing God today that we're going to see manifested healing in this house. That's what I'm believing for today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord God, that Interruptions come, but we don't have to be afraid of life's interruptions. I ask you, Lord, the ones that you showed me, Father, who emotionally were beaten and battered in 2024. We know there's been some physically people beaten and battered physically. But Lord, you showed me some specifically that life has beaten and battered. And I pray today, Lord God, for those who are sick in body and for those who are wounded in heart and spirit and mind, that you would touch them today. Even as we partake of the communion, I believe that this will be a time of healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to partake of the communion of the bread.